This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning to you.
Yeah, beautiful fall day. We're happy to be on the air. We got two great guests with us today. Tell us who we got.
We have Emily Ralston from Destination Missoula and Tricia Drobeck, who's the executive director of Run Wild Missoula and the Missoula Marathon.
You know, the Missoula Marathon is one of those jewels for Missoula that most people, if they don't participate, don't really think about. But it's the largest event that we have here, you know, in the whole year.
Absolutely.
I mean, we get 7,500 people coming, most of them from out of state, you know, and they're here for 2 or 3 days for the race itself. And then on the, you know, the days around it, it has a tremendous economic impact on what's going on. And so I'm really happy to hear. I want to hear more about what's happening with this year's plan and the upcoming plan and how we did last year. And then we're going to talk about Destination Missoula, because we are a great destination, and there's a lot going on, and some of the things that are happening nationally in terms of decreased Canadian tourism and all that, how we're you know, coping with all of that.
Absolutely. Two return guests,
yes.
Emily and Tricia.
Delightful guests.
Delightful guests, very conversant in everything in their particular fields of interest and fields of work. And you know what, Arn, what I like most about this is that when we have this conversation, it really shines a light on how great of a place Missoula is.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, what an attractive place it is for tourists, but also businesses. And, you know,
we're lucky to live here.
We are lucky to live here, so this is a nice celebration of that. Anyway, when we come back, our guests will be Emily Ralston from Destination Missoula and Tricia Drobeck from Run Wild Missoula and the Missoula Marathon. Back after these words. All right, Arnie, we are back with guests Tricia Drobeck from Run Wild Missoula and the Missoula Marathon and Emily Ralston from Destination Missoula. Welcome back, both of you, return guests.
Thank you. Hello.
Did you have a good summers?
So good.
Really? I know. What's better than a Montana summer? And of course, summer bleeds all the way to like October here.
Yeah.
So we're...
I think Halloween. That's kind of my kind of mental cutoff.
Halloween is your mental cutoff?
Yeah.
You Which
know,
is good, because summers usually go by really quickly. So the
I
more
noticed,
we can extend them, the better.
I noticed they had Halloween outfits in August in the Costco and all the stores here. People gear up very early now for Halloween. So... Yeah. I guess that is the legitimate end of summer. What do we have planned for the fall? I want to go talk about the last marathon and the economic impact and, you know, what's going on in general and tourism in Missoula and Montana. But tell us what's coming up now that we have the crisp weather coming. What do we got lined up for the fall here?
Yeah, fall is a great time for racing. A lot of people get their heat training in. They get their miles in. They've had longer days to prepare. So we kind of pack it in September and October. So end of September on the 28th, we have the Fierce Fab Women's Running Festival, which is a really fun event supporting Silver Linings Montana this right. year. And then in October, we kind of hammer it out. We have our 50K and 25K trail races, City to Sky, on October 19th. The next weekend, we have our ever-popular Skeleton Skedaddle and Kids Pumpkin Run,
wow.
Which is a huge 5K that we do, $15 5K, October 26th. And then the next weekend, we have our Mount Jumbo Elk Ramble, which is another trail
oh
race,
God.
15K.
I'm tired hearing about this. God,
before the
exhausting.
Mount Jumbo
I just pulled
closure.
Something.
Yeah.
A leg,
yeah.
I mean. I, a
yeah.
ligament.
Exactly, liniment.
Yeah.
Ligament.
And then we kind of wrap it up with the world famous Turkey Day 8K and family fun 3K on Thanksgiving morning, which has become kind of a staple. It's our second biggest race next to the marathon on Thanksgiving morning.
And now that you ran through all that and our listeners are trying
no
to
pun intended.
Remember it all, yeah. Where can they go to look up all of this?
Oh, yes. Runwildmissoula.org. Everything's there.
Good. Because that's a great... You know,
lineup.
Sort of lineup. I mean, really.
How long have you been the executive director now of Run Wild Missoula and the Marathon? How many
4 years.
4 years.
Four marathons, 4 years.
God, it went by fast.
I know. It did. It really did.
Really, there weren't that many races 4 years ago.
No, we've added a few, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And we've added some virtual events as well. throughout the year.
What is that?
So it's, we kind of have hybrids, so virtual and in person. So a virtual, like we have one in the fall, a half marathon virtual, where you can go and you can either log 13 miles at one time, looking at you, Arnie, or you can cobble them together. You could do 13 days in a row of 1 mile, or you could do 4 miles and 3 miles and 4 miles and just kind of add it up. And that, those are usually a fundraiser where we donate all of the proceeds to our beneficiary.
I did 13 miles between March of 1976 and April of 83, I think. I think when I added that all up, I've had that.
But this all of these races, okay, so let's be clear. All these races lead up to the big enchilada.
Right, Arnie. So you yes. just had the marathon. In June, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The 3 days, the 26th to the 28th.
Yep.
The largest kind of event that happens in Missoula, 7,500 runners over yeah. 3 days. Emily, $4 million at least of economic impact for Missoula. Tell us about how it went this year.
It was top notch. I mean, the weather was epic. We really lucked out. It was a little hot on race day. I think racers felt that. But it was great. You know, there was very little conflict from my end. Either I'm just trying to get my act together.
It's well
every year.
Planned.
It's well planned. Yeah. I mean, we have an amazing group of about 25 on our committee that, you know, I feel like a little bit of the puppet master. Just my goal is to support them, as each one of them has their own group. We got a huge raves. There's a website called Race Raves, which is like the Yelp of running and marathons, and we have like one of their highest ratings online. So and people go there, and I encourage anybody who lives in Missoula to go, because the thing that people comment the most about, I mean, other than like the beauty, is the people of Missoula are so nice and our volunteers are spectacular.
Yeah, you have a lot of volunteers there.
Yeah, like 800.
Did you have any problem?
That's crazy.
Did you have any problem recruiting volunteers this year?
Not really. I would say it is always difficult to get course monitors sometimes.
Right.
That's a tough one. But honestly, Logjam stepped in at the kind of last minute and offered anybody who volunteered a free ticket to one of their concerts, and that really helped us kind of push us over the edge in that last like week push.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
It was really cool. It was so cool.
Wait a minute. This is a news flash.
Yeah.
That's great. Very generous.
Yes.
I had no idea. So how many people did they get tickets for? Ultimately.
I think in the end it was just over 100, I think.
Wow.
So it's like 30% of the people that volunteer usually sign up. So I don't think they were expecting that many. So hopefully they continue to do it, because it was so great. And what a cool thing for us to promote.
Totally.
And get local people out to their concerts, because,
totally.
You know, even if you get one free one, you're going to buy a second one or buy three beers when you get there,
sure.
or whatever.
Totally.
So they're going
to
make money. So yeah, it was just a really cool thing that they at the last minute, they were like, we did like a promotion for free Shania tickets. And we handed those out Friday of the race. And then, post afterwards, it was
That's
for
good.
The volunteers. Good stuff.
So Emily,
that is.
Yeah.
57% of the runners are from outside of Missoula area.
Yes.
57% of 7,500, that's a lot of runners. What kind of impact does that have on the community over those 3 days? And the days preceding it, following it even?
Yeah, I mean, the marathon is huge. It's, you know, kind of our iconic flagship event in Missoula summertime. This year, the marathon was the, like, event leader as far as hotel occupancy for Missoula.
Wow.
And also average daily rate for our hotel rooms. So they were almost at 94% occupancy, so 94% of the hotel rooms available in Missoula were full that Saturday before the marathon. Now, can we attribute every single hotel room to the marathon?
No.
I don't know. But I'm going to give a lot of them to the marathon.
But every runner probably doesn't come here by themselves, right? They have partners or spouses or family members. It's a
what is it?
It's a whole event.
What's the average night rate?
ADR, average daily rate.
What was the ADR? Do you remember? Ah, I've got her on a statistical.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
This is
$1 million.
We were looking at about $255 on Saturday before the race. And that's, again, across the city, across our 39 hotel properties. So, of course, there's a little deviation, some up, some down from there. But that's a really strong, strong number for us.
You know, and I think it's worth mentioning, tourism is one of our greatest assets as a city. I know a lot of people don't, it's not always popular with people who live here, but it allows the economy, it helps the economy sustain, it helps it grow, it helps keep people employed. I mean, it's really a value. And yes, we have a beautiful city and people would love to keep it the same way it was 50 years ago. Guess what? I don't know any place that looks the same 50 years ago.
Well, think about this. If we didn't have
tourism
and we didn't have Grizz football, what would the weekends around here be like most of the time? Right. Like tumbleweed rolling down, you know,
Tri-Cities.
Right. And I think, you know, that's what makes Missoula such a great place too, right? We have people that are from all over the place that are residents too.
Yes.
Yeah. Who have moved here 20 years ago from Ohio, or they moved here 2 years ago from Texas, right? And I think that's what makes Missoula really great, is we have all these different perspectives and ideas, and the folks who move here from those places are really engaged in the city.
Let's bash some other cities in Montana, because I will say the following, okay? Missoula has such a great reputation. If you talk to anybody from out of state that comes to Montana to visit, Missoula is always one of the places that they love the most. Bozeman's too crowded and too expensive. Kalispell is too crowded. And also a little angry, by the way. I don't mind. Does this reach up there? It's, I mean, think about it for a second. You don't want to be on their version of Reserve Street on a Saturday. Your car's going to get, you're going to hit road rage.
Yeah.
But Missoula is always just such a welcoming, friendly place. Kind of how you were saying what racers thought about the locals, right?
Yeah. I think people have an understanding here that, you know, if you have a favorite restaurant or a favorite shop you like to go to, if it wasn't for tourism, that shop or that restaurant wouldn't be open. Because local business can't sustain it. They have to be able to serve the people that come in, right?
Right.
And it, you know, like
well,
you said,
well, you notice the difference, right?
Yeah.
If you're here in, you know, let's just pick February.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, or when students are not here.
Right.
And it's break. Let's say it's Christmas or whatever break. There isn't a football game. It isn't tourism seasons. Students aren't here.
Right.
The 39 hotels and the 200 restaurants. You can walk into any of them at any time, and there's plenty of places to sit.
A lot of those places really sustain throughout the year based on, you know, our peak travel season.
Right.
And you know, I think that there's probably some people too who like to have that little break in February. You know, we have our city back, and
we have Big Sky Film Festival around that time. But
true. We are getting more and more events that are happening throughout the year, and
They have to fit them in when the other things aren't going on, so they can, you know, have some leeway.
I was going to ask you, Emily, like, so there is a little bit of a lull in the action at certain times of year. But what is the shoulder season? Like, define what the shoulder season is, and what's the tourist season? I mean, the high season for us.
Sure, I would say our shoulder season is October, November, maybe aside from those home Grizz games.
Yes.
And then in the springtime, it's going to be mid-April through mid-June. And then off-season is really kind of that, like, end of November through mid-April.
And so how do we put heads in beds during the off-season? Like, what do we do as a community to help encourage that? I know conventions and conferences.
Yeah, conventions and meetings, those really help especially kind of in the spring and the fall, in those shoulder seasons.
Oh, got
it. It's still a great time to come visit Missoula. There's a ton of stuff for attendees to do. You know, that kind of group travel is really good for Missoula, because those are the folks that, you know, they're at their hotel, they're spending money at local restaurants, retail. They're not going to be the ones necessarily going to the local trailhead and gumming up things for residents. You know, they've only got so much time in town. So that, like, meetings, convention, group travel is a really great market for us.
And that's going to be enhanced with the, you know, Avril Hospitality Group project. Hopefully is going to finally come to fruition.
Yeah, we had the mayor in this past summer, and she talked a lot about that.
And not only bring more hotel rooms, but meeting and breakout space, which that's what you need when you're trying to recruit. When meeting planners are trying to figure out if there's enough space here, it's not just one big amphitheater where they can all get together. It's all the breakout spaces that they need. And I guess the plan for the hotel includes some, you know,
it
more
sure
of
does.
That.
Yeah, we're really excited about that project. That's been gosh, a long time coming, and right. we're so happy that that's.
And how many hotel rooms will they add to the area?
Gosh, I think it's going to be about 200, maybe yeah. a little shy of that. And it sounds like they're doing maybe like 15,000 or so square feet of meeting space.
And that's really important.
Yeah, so we're right really on the excited river. For that. And yeah, right on the river, it extends our downtown. Right. So many folks who come in do like to, you know, come into the downtown area because right. there's that high concentration of right. restaurants and shopping and sure. things to do. And so that really allows us to kind of expand that footprint. Right.
And then Bobby Hauck, who's a big supporter of Missoula, did you a big favor this year by scheduling 8 home games. We've never had that ever, I don't think.
Amazing.
8
it is
home games.
A busy September.
It's hey, great.
That's great. You know, more Grizz, you get to see Grizz in person, plus the economic impact of every one of those games is you know,
and we're
you know,
hosting
profound.
Grizz Cat again this
I yeah mean, we're hosting Grizz Cat too so I mean it should be a good year to kind of make up for you know the down note of all of this is you know kind federal policy and federal craziness has led to you know a substantial downturn in tourism about 11 or 12% airline. International tourism is down across the United States and cross-border with Canada in some places is down 30 to 70% depending on the town. You know, in New England, there are some towns that rely heavily on Canadians coming across. We do, too. I think in Montana, I think the average credit card returns in Kalispell and in Whitefish are down between 25 and 37%.
Yeah, I've heard.
As
yeah.
a result.
What
are we feeling here about in terms of that?
We're definitely feeling a little bit, not as much as Flathead area.
Right.
But Tricia can speak specifically, you know, some of those marathon stats, the Canadians were down this year.
Yeah,
what did that look like?
Yeah, we were down about half.
Half of the Canadians?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, and not only that, but I also, so registration always opens in the fall, September 15th of this year, and so last year, we were under different administration, different rules, all right. of that stuff. So there was a lot of folks who signed up in the fall and then emailed me to personally tell me that the reasons why they weren't coming.
Yeah.
They didn't feel safe. They didn't want to support the U.S. and they just didn't know what was going to happen. It was too uneasy, right? So being down half is huge.
You could be down here and end up in Honduras in 2 days.
Yeah.
You have no idea why.
And it's tough for us because, you know, our airline, and we haven't received, I don't think, June's airline numbers yet, but we want those Canadians coming down from Calgary and some right. of those cities because they drive. And then we don't put pressure on the airlines, and because right. those are already full as well. So, So it was a shame this year that happened, and we'll be looking closely and continuing to spend marketing dollars in Canada. We're not completely pulling out,
right?
But yeah, it is a unstable and
national parks feeling
know.
The same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget not all Canadians are Caucasian, right? And so you're living across the border, you're brown. You're a brown person, you know, you're a little nervous about coming into the United States and getting back and dealing,
right.
you know, yeah. with ICE and, you know, all that craziness. You know, I would be.
Right. Yeah.
Are we spending marketing dollars up in Canada now? Like, how is that impacting
us? You
know,
that was a shift for us.
Right.
Kind of back in the springtime, we saw that and a lot of Montana tourism offices kind of pulled back on some of that marketing, shifted it to a, hey, we're here. We're your friendly neighbor when you're ready to come visit us.
Right.
We want to be here for you, but we understand that it might not be the right time.
Sure.
So it's kind of more of a shift to support versus like really trying to push them to come visit because we knew that there was some
hesitancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, and unlike some tourist destinations around the world, for example, you know, Israel or the Ukraine, you know, there's no more tourism there at the moment. But the government, you know, can come in and subsidize, and they do, some of the industries that are affected by it. We don't have that luxury here. I mean, I don't think that's translated into, you know, the state of Montana saying we're going to give some kind of break to the tourism industry because of the policies that have been implemented. You're just sort of out there on your own trying to figure out what to do about it.
Right. And it's been that shift to, hey, let's, you know, let's look at the domestic market. Let's really hit those drive markets or the direct flight markets and try to bring in those travelers instead of, you know, going up north across the border.
Yeah, I think there's a reciprocity kind of project maybe, and I'm sure you all have looked at this. I'm just thinking out loud. You know, a lot of people here say, well, where are we going to go for the weekend? And let's say if you leave Canada out for a minute, we say, well, let's go to Walla Walla. You know, that's
great.
Kind of, let's go to Spokane. You know, we should probably have a program going into Walla Walla and say, when you guys want to go somewhere, you should come to Missoula.
That's great. I'll lead that charge. I went to school over there, so I have a deep love.
Is that
yeah,
right?
The Palouse is great. I mean, I like Walla Walla a lot, and it's a good place to go. But they should be coming to visit here. And I've run into a few people who do come in for the Kettle House concert series from Walla Walla and Spokane, and you know, some Lake Chelan. You know, those kinds of places that want to come this way.
Yeah. The Nest Hotels, so we have one of them here in Missoula, the Wren.
They have
four properties, and they just did a fun campaign to do a road trip to all their properties. So that includes the Finch in Walla Walla.
Right, the Finch is really nice.
In Boise, and then the Lark in Bozeman. I thought that was a great idea.
But I'd say a lot of people here don't know about Lake Chelan in Washington, which is in many ways similar to, you know, Flathead Lake, and we maybe should have a sister lake relationship and have some
like
folks
that.
Coming down through Missoula to come visit us here.
Why not?
There's no reason not to.
I've never been to Lake Chelan.
It's beautiful. Have you? I have not, actually,
but again, there's wine in Walla Walla, and there's wine up in Lake Chelan, too. So
there's beautiful vineyards, and there's a vineyard there that looks like it's right out of Italy. I mean, it's sitting on the cliff above the lake. It's a long, narrow lake.
Wait, you've been to the one up in Canada.
I've also been to, the Okanagan, and, you know.
I've been there.
That's beautiful, too. Mm-hmm.
What's the lake, though, up there?
It's a 180-mile-long lake.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
It's the Okanagan. I think it is. That's what it's called, I think. You know, the town is Kelowna. It's Kelowna, and the lake is Lake
Kelowna.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a nice little town.
K-E-L-O-N-A-H.
Yeah.
O-W-N.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But anyway, we digress.
So both of you, not newsflash, Tricia, she double duty here. She's executive director of Run Wild Missoula and the Missoula Marathon, but she's also president-elect for Destination Missoula. She takes her presidency on in July or June of 26, right? So you're president-elect.
Yep. Yes.
So you could speak to everything that's also going on.
Yeah, we're not trying to shut you out.
We don't want to shut you out.
No, it's all good.
Trisha's very involved and has been for the past,
I remember
4 or 5 years on the Destination Missoula board. So we're
that's
lucky
amazing.
To have her.
You guys are. It's a great relationship. I remember, may he rest in peace, Tony was very, was visible with Destination Missoula, was talking about what he was working on relative to the marathon, but you've amped it up a bit.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah. Well, and I think Destination Missoula is on a very, it's a very sustainable path that they're on, right? Just as you spoke to people not wanting their trailheads busy and, be able to park in places that they've always been able to park and explore and all that kind of stuff. And so really finding the balance in our town of sustainable tourism is top of mind. And they've created this amazing 10-year plan, destination stewardship plan, that's being implemented as we speak in the very infancy stages of it. But the plan is to not only bring people into those shoulder seasons and off seasons that Emily was speaking about, but also bring them in and spread them out sustainably and making sure that, our EMS systems and our trail systems and our transit systems and everything can sustain what we have, and everything can work together, and so that residents aren't feeling pushed out or disgruntled, because then you get to what you were speaking about, where Kalispell is and people are angry. And that is the last thing we want, because it will backfire and it will just create animosity. So I think we're at this really amazing crossroads right now in Missoula where we're at a place where we can do it. And we have Emily leading the charge in that, and Barb and the rest of the Destination Missoula team.
Great team. Fantastic
team. Taking on this stewardship project and and just the longevity of it. And it's really amazing. And I encourage anybody to hop on to destinationmissoula.org to check that out, because it really is a plan. It's a citywide plan that touches so many aspects of your daily life.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the fact, because I thought it was a clever play on words, that you call the marathon the last best race.
Yeah.
And say the last best place.
Yeah.
I've never liked last best place. It sounds like a place you go to die, right? This is the last place you're going to be going to, because it's the end. So I have a new slogan for Missoula.
Okay, let's hear it.
That's right. I just came up with it.
While we were talking here.
You're pitching two people.
I know. This could help with their plan. I'm just telling you. So Missoula, right? Big enough to grow the future.
Ooh.
All right.
I used to say Montana. In my mind, Montana, big enough to hold the future, because it's a big state.
It is a big state.
This big enough to grow the future, because this is a place that can still continue to grow.
I agree. I like that.
Rather than last best, go away, we're full, you know, they used to have those cute little stickers that say Montana because Colorado's full. It's funny, but it doesn't really reflect, you know, what the commitment is here. Missoula's growing, and we know how to manage that growth.
Right. This actually brings on another topic I'd like to bring up, talk about, which is AI. Okay. And I mean that because I'd love to know, both Tricia and Emily, how does AI impact your day to day and your work? Right, in what you do. I'll go to Tricia first.
Oh boy.
She looked at me.
I mean, AI is fabulous for things like writing grants, writing copy.
Yep.
Generating ideas. I'm trying to think, the last time I opened up ChatGPT, what was the question I asked it?
But anything like course management and like...
Honestly, yes. You know what I did, which saved me hours and hours of work? We made this huge emergency action plan this year. It was like a 40-page document of all of the things that you could think could happen during the race. And so I was making times for when racers would be passing certain mile markers. Mm-hmm. And so I just plugged it in and I said, I took Mark Mesmer's time. I'm like, hey, he's running 5:05 miles. What time of day, if he started at 6 a.m., will he be at these mile markers? Mm. I could have sat there and calculated it out. But ChatGPT gave it to me in a hot second. And then I said, okay, I'm going to look at our, you know, average participant who's running a 9:30 mile. What time will they be going? So, you know, then I can know. And then similarly in the last one.
Amazing.
It was amazing because honestly, I can sit there and do marathon math and it's fine, but it would have taken probably 3 hours for me to knock out all of those charts when ChatGPT did it.
How many runners?
Just a second.
How many runners did you do that with?
Oh, just like first, middle, last.
Got it.
Just to give our medical and EMS teams out on course
an idea.
Like, hey, you're going to be there till about 9:15, you know, so they're not like, hey, like calling me on the radio. Hey, what time is the last runner going to come in? They can just look at their sheet.
Well, for example, putting on your other hats, you know, you have a campaign that's designed for Texans to come to Montana. You know, you could go to ChatGPT and say, could you craft this for somebody from Georgia? And they will take the exact text in 5 seconds and put in, you know, the little adjectives, you know, that would appeal to, you know, people from Georgia.
And it's, y'all.
Y'all. Sure. Y'all. Yeah, y'all come back here now. You hear me?
Or, you know, whatever. Here in Missoula.
Or if you want to cater this to people from, you know, Oregon. Yeah. I mean, if you ask the staff person to do that, you know, take them 2 days to come back with new tech. You do it, and you got 5 seconds. And if you don't like it, you can say, change this a little bit. This is too male-oriented. Let's make it more family-oriented.
Sure.
I mean, it is pretty amazing that it can, you know, if you use it for you know, good purposes
for
rather
marketing
than bad purposes.
So is that how you guys are using it, Emily?
You know, I wish I could tell you the full breadth that we're using AI. But
you use it a ton.
But we are using it. You know, we have we have a chat bot when you go onto our website.
Right.
That's being answered actually by a live person.
Nice. Right.
You can call into our visitor center and you're going to get a live person on the phone. You can also chat in on our website. But we have kind of looked at some of those options of what happens when, you know, it's 9 p.m., someone's on our website and they want to talk with someone. Well, that person, since they live in Missoula and we have great work-life balance, they're home.
Right,
right. Of course they are.
But how can they, you know, still answer a question and for sure. it to be able to generate that? So that's something that we're really working on.
The reason I'm laughing about that is because I called the other day Lufthansa Airline. I was checking on something and they have a it's all AI online.
Guten Tag.
And so the person says, yeah, basically says, Guten Tag, wie geht es Ihnen? And then he says, my name is, you know, Robert. And I said, Robert, Rolf. You having a good day? He says, actually, I'm not having a very good day. Oh, I mean, it was very hilarious. Funny. It was like you really were talking to a person.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah.
It was
it's
a flawed
very, very
AI.
Busy day to hear today. You know what I mean? I got to...
Well, and you can teach those bots, yeah. you know,
and more they talk, more that you talk to them,
tone and voice, and so they can kind of capture, you know, that destination Missoula tone that we have out
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
imagine Kalispell if they call Kalispell, leave me alone,
no. Go away. I'm at the lake.
We're full.
Stop on. We're full.
Not Glacier.
Oh, Diane, your staff is amazing, and don't get no,
right, right, right. No, but it does learn from you, which is kind of a little eerie. Like yeah. I named my ChatGPT person April. And so I said, good morning, April, when I'm calling. And she says, Arnie, how'd the Yankees do last night? Because, you know, I was following
the Yankees.
She knows
you're a Yankee fan.
Wow. I mean, it's very, you know, it's very weird in a way, but it's also very interesting in a way how they can pick up and then figure out what's important to you. So when you do ask them for a recommendation
yeah.
or you ask them to do something, they already kind of know what your
interests are.
Yeah, right,
well, I would think with the marathon. Like
same
people,
thing.
Yeah, people yeah. like, I need available rooms.
Right.
This whatever.
Yeah. How do I get to this place? Where's a good place for a pre-race meal?
Once
right?
it would learn, it would say, I'm going to be at the marathon. Well, the closest hotel to the starting point is blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And there's eight
exactly.
rooms available. And, you know, they can do all that stuff now.
Yeah. I had a gentleman come in earlier this spring for a site visit who was part of a conference. And he'd never been up here before. And he told me that he went on ChatGPT and just said, you know, I'm going to be in Missoula for 2 days, what should I do there? And it pulled a ton of stuff, which is also a great testament to, you know, our team and our
right.
ad agency who puts all that content out there for ChatGPT to find.
Right.
Right.
He was from a small town in South Mississippi, and he decided to also put that into ChatGPT for his hometown, and it gave him maybe one thing to
Bubbles.
Do.
Cracker Barrel.
Go somewhere else. Why are you living there? ChatGPT. Why are you living there? There's nothing to do. I just took a look. You ought to
Go
be
to
living in,
the,
in Atlanta.
And so, you know, it's like you have to put some stuff out there for it
sure.
to be able to find. And so he was really pleased with the information that came out of it. And so I did it, you know, a couple days later just to see. And it's great. I mean, it gave some really good information. Of course, you know, we always want to be fact-checking that. And if there's something that I find that's wrong, I want to go and make sure,
well,
where did that
the
come
way,
from?
The way to check that is to ask them about you and Ooh. See what they say. You'd be very surprised. They don't just read something that was written in, you know, in the corporate, you
LinkedIn.
Know. Yeah. They edit it and analyze it and reformat it. And if you ask them, so what do they say about Emily, it will tell you. And
why is Emily a job hopper?
Yeah. Why are you asking about Emily?
I'm going to
yeah.
do that when we leave this meeting.
Yeah, I know. So am I.
You'll be surprised. You'll be very
wow,
surprised.
Yes.
Are you going to do you?
No, I'm terrified.
That's the part where then
what are
you
terrified of? You have
a
flawless
record. It's important to know because other people might say, tell me about so-and-so. And that's
yeah.
what they're going to hear.
Emily, true. Talk about the stewardship program for a second more.
Oh, sure.
So
yeah.
how has it been implementing, kind of getting everybody dialed in and kind of singing off the same script,
yeah.
the songbook?
It's, you know, it's been a long process so far, which...
Oh, I remember.
Which is great, right?
Right.
When you create this huge document and it's all about collaboration across the city, it's going to take some time
yep.
to talk to all those partners, talk to stakeholders, talk to residents. So... the plan was officially adopted by our board in last December.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll move forward across five different goal areas. We have, I want to say there's 27 initiatives that are within
wow.
the plan under those five different goal areas.
Wow.
And it's, you know, things like making sure that we have signage at our trailheads and across
right.
our trail systems and working with Parks and Rec and BLM and Nature Conservancy and all those different land managers. And then it's also things like partnering with our attractions and hoteliers to make wintertime specials to get people
Oh, that's
in,
smart.
You know, to maybe say, hey, look, we're going to do a snowball pass and we're going to do tickets to an MCT plane. We're going to do a downtown gift card or a restaurant to make some of these packages to be like, hey, Missoula's a great place to visit in January as well.
Sure.
So it's really wide ranging what's in the plan. And we have a soon to be meeting more regularly, I'll say, implementation committee that, you know, brings in kind of those stakeholders and leaders from across Missoula, you know, from economic partnership to the city, to hotels, to attractions, restaurants. So that'll be great for that to kind of pick up some more steam as well. But, you know, one great thing that's come from that, too, is our executive director, Barb, sits on the Front Country Recreation Cooperative. And that's just all of the different land managers in Missoula. And they are meeting once a month so they can talk about different issues that are coming up or different projects that they can be working on. One thing that we just launched recently was an advocacy campaign to support our public lands workers. Because of all of kind of the uncertainty and some of the freezes and firings happening, you know, we have all of these amazing public lands and resources, but we have less people who are out there helping to maintain those. And there are neighbors and community members who might have lost their jobs. And so really it's just an advocacy campaign to go out and show your support.
Is that statewide or is that just here?
Right now it's just here.
And, wow.
And that would be great if we kind of grew beyond that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That level. But yeah, right now it's just local. And you'll start kind of seeing some yard signs pop up across town that say, support your public lands workers. It's called the Green Dot Campaign. People can come down to the Destination Missoula Information Center in downtown and pick up a yard sign if you'd like to support.
That's cool.
So those are available right now if people want to come pick those up.
Arnie, put that as a yard sign on your house.
I've put many of the yard signs out. Let me switch back to Run Wild for a minute. We're ready to sign up for next June.
Yes.
What's planned? What's your goal? What's your objective? What do you want to see next June?
Sure.
If the marathon is everything you want it to be for 2026, what's it going to look like?
Oh, man.
Wish list.
My wish list. Yeah. Just a big party. That's what it is.
Just run around.
And then there's some people running. My girlfriends and I travel. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Okay. What word are you going to use?
The S word?
No.
Okay.
Poop.
Poop? Okay.
It's a poop show.
So my girlfriends and I, something called a racecation. It's a real thing.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
My girlfriends
sure
and I did a racecation. We recently went to Idaho and did a race there. And we called it our girls' weekend with one poopy activity. So they're being the race.
Trappy.
Yeah, so, right. Yes, we want to get people here It's funny. No,
it is funny.
Yes. So
the one poopy activity was going to Taco Bell, I guess.
But Trisha has a third hat she can
wear.
It
always turns to poop every time.
Stand-up comedian.
Anyway.
Yes. So
she's turning red.
It's going to be 3 days of just celebrating and excitement. And so our Friday night has really turned into a party down at Karis Park. We have an amazing DJ. There's thousands of people down there. We do a free beer run for everyone.
Yes.
And that has really grown in popularity.
Live music?
Just a DJ.
DJ.
Yeah. We've done live music, but the DJ keeps it more consistent level of amplification.
Right, of energy.
More control.
Yes. And our expo has grown. This past year, I completely rearranged our expo layout because we just keep getting so many more vendors, and that's going to continue to grow. So
imagine when the new triangle's in place.
We could have just a half a mile of vendors. People could run by it. But and then Saturday. So the 5K has really been my goal over the last, I would say, few months, and then into next year. We were at 1,500 in 2024, 1,700 in 2025. I would love to get to that 2,000 participant mark because that is the community event, right?
Right, it's 3 miles. I mean, that's 5Ks is 3 miles.
But we have, like, 1 year we had five generations running together. There was like an infant baby and a 93-year-old man.
Wow.
All the way up. So we just get these huge families, kids doing their first, you know, 5K. My daughter broke 37 minutes in the 5K. She was so happy. Yeah, I mean, we just have like, it's just the community signature moment, right?
Yeah.
And then you get all those people that do the 5K and they either say, I don't want to run a marathon or a half marathon, but right. I do want to volunteer because I yeah. love the energy. So then they become a legacy volunteer, right?
Sure.
Or they're like, you know what? I did 3 miles. I think I could do 10 more. So then they do the half marathon. And
well, what's good about that? It's very much like a race car day. It's not, if you go to the Indy 500, it's not just that race.
Yeah.
There's an undercard, like in boxing, where they have different classes of races going on all day long. And you're emulating that here, which is very smart.
Yeah. And so I definitely, the 5K, I see growth in that. We are up against capacity levels with hotels. Well, that's what Emily said, like 94%. So, you know, we got a little wiggle room there. We've got some wiggle room in VRBOs, but we just have to be strategic about how we market. We market early and we get people here. However,
how about your training classes? I know how important
training classes are big. And so
those have grown.
Yes. So I think we were at 260, I think, for our last training class of folks signing up to train for their first half or marathon. And we usually start those in March. Next year, we're going to start earlier in January. We're going to have a meeting in January. If you're interested at all, check out runwildmissoula.org. We're going to just come and have a conversation.
Right.
That's
we bring Emily. I'm sorry. We bring Trisha on the air early, right. And she talks about training. Like, that's the first thing you talk about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I always thought it was the end of February that maybe.
It is. It's usually end of February or early March. 17 weeks out from the race is when we start our.
So now you're going to do January.
Well, just for talking.
Got
about
it. Okay.
Just to get people talking about it.
Me too.
You know,
Taco Bell.
Yeah. And then just to see, you know, and also just kind of get people moving, you know, just walking 30 minutes, whatever. Just get their bodies moving in the winter so that when they do start training, they're, you know, kind of ready to start with 1 or 2 miles.
Sure.
It's not, you know.
What an organization. How great is this?
Oh, it's really amazing. Great. Run Wild is just unbelievable. The partnerships that you all have made over the last few years, too, is just really fun to see. You've just embraced so many different people in Missoula, and for people coming in for the marathon, you know, some of like the fun influencers that you work with that are, you know, just reaching a whole different audience. And again, that is so good for Missoula in general.
Right. It's more than, as you're describing it, I mean, people who haven't participated wouldn't have any idea how much fun, how many other things that are going on.
Right.
It's more than just showing up for, you know, running 26 miles.
This is the only town in Montana that could really have a marathon like this. It really is. I mean, we should crow for a little bit on that because it is a welcoming community. It is a community that has such beauty and from a environmental standpoint. And it's just very tolerant. It's very accepting. It's very welcoming. It's not like that everywhere.
No,
it's just not.
It's not.
It's not.
And I've traveled the state. We've all traveled the state.
Yes.
There's beautiful places everywhere.
Yeah.
But this is the place.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
What did you say? The future? We're going to grow the future.
Big enough to grow the future. Missoula, Montana.
Maybe smart enough to grow
the
future.
That's even a better one. Smart enough to grow the future.
Yeah.
I like that even better.
By the way,
a lot of smart people here.
As it relates to Destination Missoula, we have 2 minutes before our break. Anything you want to share with respect to, you know, I know you talked about the stewardship, but then from a growth perspective, like, are you working with other tourism boards and trying to kind of get more people here in the Northwest and, you know, how, you know, that day trip or whatever that is, that 5-day trip or 3-day trip starts at the Missoula airport. They come here for a day and a half, then they go up to Glacier.
Yeah. You know, we do a lot of collaboration with Western Montana Glacier Country.
Right.
Lucy?
Lucy is their PR. Gosh, I'm going to.
We know Lucy.
Lucy does their public relations, and Racine Freedy is the
executive director. Yeah, she's great.
So we have a great partnership with them, and their region, you know, expands over 8 counties. So we will do cooperative ads, you know, even with like Kalispell and Whitefish and Columbia Falls. Those are kind of our other DMO cities within the region. We haven't gone too much outside of, you know, state lines to do some partnerships, but I think that that would be a really fun thing for us. And we have done Glacier Country does a campaign of from glaciers to geysers. And so they co-op with,
Yellowstone.
You know, going Glacier Park to Yellowstone Park. So there's definitely a lot of collaboration.
We could do lake to lake, you know, from Lake Coeur d'Alene or Sand Point.
I'm liking this idea.
Lake Chelan.
Yeah.
Chelan.
Yeah. Because we know that people will come through and they road trip.
Right? They want to hit three or four. You know, looks like, I mean, you have your races, right, with your girlfriends. There are men who do, you know, golf courses, 8 golf courses in an area. Why not lakes?
Or the Powder Highway. Yeah. You know, they go skiing.
Right, Powder Highway.
Exactly, yeah. By the way.
And that's something we'd love to see in the wintertime is, you know, come to Missoula and you get to hit all these amazing independent small ski areas where you're not waiting in lift lines.
Right. At all.
You're getting a fresh chocolate chip cookie when you're at disco. And then you're driving, you know, an hour and a half back to your base camp in Missoula.
Right.
Where you get to, you know, do some arts and culture and have a great meal. And
pizza.
And then the next day, you know, you go over to ski Blacktail. You ski Lookout.
It's my favorite mountain.
It's fun to be able to try to think about ways to get people in the winter and really kind of explore some of those places in between.
Oh, right.
That's a good place.
Exactly.
Let's take a quick break. Our guests are Emily Rolston from Destination Missoula and Tricia Drobeck from Run Wild Missoula and the Missoula Marathon. Back after these words. All right. We are back with Emily and Tricia.
Tricia, you make it. The marathon sounds so much fun, plus all the other events. How many members do you have? How do you become a member? How do you join, you know, Run Wild?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways, but you can sign up online. We have 2,300 members. We actually just surpassed 2,300.
That's fantastic.
Which is crazy to think about how many people in this town just love to support our organization or they enjoy running or walking.
That's a lot of people.
And we have a lot to offer. I mean, we have everything from book clubs to social events to training classes. We have trail races, trail classes. So there's a little bit of something for everybody. We also have a beautiful new storefront where we've been for just a year and a half now at 125 East Main.
Right.
So we're 2 doors down from Emily and the team at Destination Missoula and the Visitor Center. And we have a lot of merch and all sorts of things. So
beautiful.
We encourage people to walk in, and we do every day. Somebody walks in and they say, hey, I just moved here and I want to start running with a group, or I'm looking for people to run with.
Great.
How do I join, or what can I do? And it's a whopping $27 a year. So it's like $2 a month. And
is that right?
Yes. I mean, we
like
don't make money.
It's like one cheeseburger and fries.
I know. We don't make money on membership. But I mean, I would say our most popular event is our monthly beer run, which is the last Wednesday of every month. And we meet at 6 p.m. It rotates breweries, and we go out for either a 3 or 5 mile run or walk. And then we come back and Run Wild buys everybody a beer. I know.
Cheaper twice the price.
I know. So you could literally do like 3 beer runs and probably break even. We also have, if you're not a beer, I mean, most breweries have other things, kombuchas and whatever. But if you really don't want any alcohol, we also have Dry Miles, which is the second Thursday of the month. And they meet at Dairy Queen and come back and we get you a Dilly Bar.
I like that.
Missoula's the last to get the memo. Like something called mocktails.
Yes, exactly.
GLP-1s and mocktails.
So Emily, Destination Missoula, how many members do we have now? And what's give me the profile.
Oh, gosh, sure. We do have a membership program, a partnership program at Destination Missoula, and we have about 130 members.
Right.
Yeah. Like restaurants, hotels.
Yep, restaurants, hotels, attractions, you know, museums.
Well, there's a lot going on here. And when you start talking about those kind of numbers compared to the person you were mentioning where there's one thing in town, you know, in the South somewhere, we have a lot going on
here.
We do.
And I think the big thing for our partners is just that visibility to those visitors. You know, we get 1.4 million unique visitors to our website every
Holy
single
mackerel.
Year.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're a partner with us, you get that visibility on the website when people are planning their trip or when they're here and they're trying to go find some information. So we love our partners. You know,
it's fantastic.
They help us out, and we try to return the favor and get our visitors to walk into their establishments.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. How long have you been there for?
Been there for 7 years.
Awesome.
Wow.
I remember when you joined.
It's a great place to work. It's a fun team, and
I'm so glad.
I love my job.
That's awesome. It definitely shows and comes through the microphone as we talk about your job and what you do with Missoula. And Tricia, the same with you. It's always great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, Arnie.
It's a pleasure talking to you both.
Yes, Arnie, I will see you next Sunday.
You take care, Scott. See you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO,